In November 2019, I visited the South Australian Museum in Adelaide to see if a certain man's skull was among the collection of human remains held in the museum's keeping place. A number of archival collections had been checked, and a forensic anthropologist was attempting to match the man's skull with the unprovenanced remains thought most likely to belong to him. He had been murdered in 1934, but the forensic anthropologist could only positively identify the skull. Museum officials Anna Russo and Professor John Carty and I decided that we would travel together to Uluru, formerly known as Eyre's Rock, a huge, iconic monolith, more or less in the centre of Australia, that is home to the Aboriginal people, the Anangu. There, we would inform Sammy Wilson, chair of three community organisations, Mutajulu Community Aboriginal Corporation, Uluru Katachuta Board of Management, and the Central Land Council, that the Indigenous person whose skull this was had been identified. He was, in fact, the granduncle of Sammy Wilson. His name was Yokanana. Before we headed for Uluru, Anna and I drove to the large factory-like building in a nearby Adelaide suburb where the museum houses the human remains in its collection. Years of chasing down the events surrounding Yokanana's killing at Uluru in Central Australia had led me to this nondescript repository of horrors. We entered a vast space with little natural light and walked through several rooms, signing in as we moved from one area to the next. When we reached the room where Yokanana's skull was stored, I noticed a number of wooden boxes stacked in the corner, draped in the Aboriginal flag. The provenance of these human remains had been established, and now they were waiting to be collected by elders and returned to country. Nearby, medium-sized cardboard boxes containing Aboriginal remains that were moved from the University of Adelaide in 2017 were stored on four shelves. Yokanana's skull rested in box 39. Anna took the box from the shelf and laid it on the table. She turned on an overhead lamp, put on white cotton gloves, carefully removed the skull and placed it on tissue-like paper. With the stark white light bearing down from above, the words etched in capitals on the crown were clearly visible. Yokanana. Complete skeleton. As Anna explained, this naming was unusual. Perhaps the skull was so labelled because Yokanana's remains were crucial evidence in the 1935 Commonwealth Board of Inquiry into Yokanana's death. We noticed the missing initiation tooth and the crazing on the skull's surface, a thin spidery web that indicated it had spent considerable time in the ground before exhumation. The slight yellowing of the bone was probably caused by tissue residue or the chemicals that may have been used to clean the skull. 85 years after Yokanana's death, his remains were still subject to the invader's gaze, still the captive object of inquiry and examination. Anna placed the skull back in the box and we washed our hands before walking into the next room. There, stacked on shelves from floor to ceiling, were more unprovenanced remains that had come to the museum from Adelaide University. Mandibles, hip bones, collarbones, vertebrae and countless others, filed in numbered cardboard boxes. Perhaps Yokanana's post-cranial remains were here, but testing the contents of every box would be an expensive and prolonged process. It was also possible that Professor John Clayland, who headed the Board of Inquiry into Yokanana's death, or someone else could have handed them over to the university's medical school for teaching purposes, in which case they would have been discarded long ago. Above me on the very top shelf, standing upright and wrapped tightly in plastic, were casts made of the heads of Aboriginal men and women by the archaeologist and ethnologist Norman Tyndale from the 1930s. The thickness of the plastic that encased them made it impossible to discern any features. This grotesque mausoleum, evidence of the racism and violence committed by the state against Australia's Indigenous people over so many years, existed in a permanent limbo.